Self-destruct.
What time is it? Danger!
It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Red, right, 24 double Puma.
23 Dallas, red.
58!
Blue Poncho,
24 Reno.
Monday!
58!
Happy Football Friday, everybody. How we doing? How we feeling?
What is happening?
It's a nice little Friday morning for you.
Oh, it feels good. Doesn't it feel nice out there? A little bit cool.
It
a little
does.
Bit of rain.
It does.
Feels just fall is here, baby, and I'm loving every second
it
of it.
It momentarily dumped at my house last night. I heard it. I went, oh, man, fall's almost here.
Anything better than sitting inside, comfy, cozy, on the couch. You got a little football on the TV. You got the rain coming down. You can hear it on the roof. Oh, man, tickling me right where I itch.
Now, about January, those? February, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, when you get to January, February, March.
Come back, son.
Those months can go pound sand. These months after the summer, oh, that first taste of a little bit cooler weather, I'm all for it, man.
Oh, man.
Give the AC a couple of days off. I think it might be done for the year.
Well, I have a weird thing where my AC...
We might push 80 next week.
Okay. Yeah. If we're pushing 80, then the AC will be
70s.
On. Upper 70s will be on a little bit.
Are you doing the reverse thing of what you usually do?
Doing the end, I'm predicting fall's here.
No, you usually say spring is here, winter's over.
Yeah, I'm going the other direction
now. You're going the other direction now?
Yeah, I don't really want to jinx it, though. I'm okay with a couple more 80-degree days. I'm all for it. I'm done with the 90s, though. I think I'm out on 90s
the rest
of the way.
I think we're done with the 90s. That I don't think we're going to see that anymore.
I'm punting on the 90s.
It's September 13th. I've quite literally been at a football game at college in October when it was 90.
I know.
Neither one of you know if it's going to be 90 again.
Yeah, I think we're done. I think we're done with the 90s.
Okay.
Farmer's Almanac is out.
Thank you, Swag.
Yeah. Oh, you read the Farmer's Almanac?
Yeah, we read it. We read it. It says it's done.
Winter coming early, or how's that going to go?
It's going to be a little colder, a little wetter, and probably a little more snow in the metropolitan area than we had.
What a bold take by you. It's going to be cold and wet.
That's the Farmer's Almanac.
That's what they're saying.
I'm sure I could have said that by myself.
This is what the experts are saying, man. It's an El Nino year. Don't you know that?
Read
a book, would you? God.
I'm stuck where the AC isn't turned up that much, but it's still on, but it's still too hot.
Still too hot inside the house?
Like on my bed.
Oh, like
and
when you're sleeping?
We took a big blanket off. Like we don't have a big blanket.
Yeah, the best are when you can just open up. When you're below 70 degrees, like yesterday, I think the high was like 68.
Yeah.
I had everything open just thing. Open.
You can
air
have
wide open.
Ceiling fan going is good. Keep the air moving.
Yeah. You have a ceiling fan in your bedroom.
Humble
brag
over
in
there.
The main room.
Oh, gotcha.
Jeez, not in the bedroom.
Man. I was saying, you're fancy, aren't you?
Yeah, fancy man over there. Fancy
ceiling
pants.
Fans and whatnot.
They have those in Lake Oswego. They give you a ceiling fan for like your fourth birthday. Here you go. A nice ceiling fan.
It's a requirement when you grow up in Laco.
You get the chandelier on your
third birthday.
Yeah. Ceiling fan fourth. In the bedroom on your fourth birthday.
You get the sailboat. When's the yacht come into play?
14.
14, yep. Right. Yeah, okay, that's nice.
That's your bar mitzvah.
you're an adult now. Opa! Here you go.
Here's your boat.
Yeah. Go ride it around the lake, man.
Do you, I'm like to the point where it's the one leg in, one leg out of the blanket type deal because of how warm it is in my bed. Do you sleep naked?
No, I do not sleep naked. It's a very personal question right out of the gate. No, I sleep in like sleep shorts. My wife has bought me these Tommy John sleep shorts that are kind of shorts, boxers, but bigger than boxers, if that makes sense. And they are the most comfortable things I've ever worn in my
shorts.
In my entire life. Do yourself a favor.
Really?
Dirt here for Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com. Do yourself a favor. Check the fabric is just soft. It's delicate. So they're not like...
Promo code DIRT.
Promo code DIRT. You get no percentage off, but maybe they'll pay me some money to say all this on the air. And they're just basically extended boxers. But man, the fabric, the texture to it. I can't sleep in underwear. I used to sleep in basketball shorts, but basketball shorts are too thick for me. It's like the perfect in between.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing is basketball shorts usually.
You're still a basketball shorts guy?
I have workout shorts. I have some running shorts.
Up your game.
Running shorts are okay.
Well, running shorts, my problem with running shorts is they have the inside lining of underwear.
You got to find the ones that don't.
Yeah.
Soccer shorts are good.
You don't want your boys to be held together while you're sleeping?
I like having my boys together when I'm running, when I'm sleeping. Yeah. It's like, well, now I'm going to take my clean underwear off that I just put on, and then I got to put it back on in the morning. It's a process. I don't know if I'm in on that.
That's a bit of an issue. You're not wrong. Bit of an issue.
Well, I had a friend tell me yesterday that he sleeps butt naked.
Every night.
And my brother-in-law sleeps butt naked.
Just completely butt naked.
Ass out, everything.
Feel a little uncomfortable doing that.
I think it's gross.
You have to be
farting at least a couple times. That's on your bed sheets now.
You're getting particles on the sheets.
I'm not saying you're not clean, but like, I've seen these people. There's probably a little something.
Unless they take do their shower like right before they go to bed, like that is their prep routine. Some people do that. They prefer to take a shower.
I always shower at nighttime. Yeah. I'm a nighttime shower guy.
Yeah, me too.
Before I go to bed.
Me too. Yeah.
But still,
how many people
not
washing their butts.
Yeah,
like really washing their butts.
I mean, I get in there. I'm aggressive with it.
Me too,
because of my bodily functions that I go through. I just, you know, P's and Q's.
Absolutely,
pay attention. even though I shower at night, still uncomfortable sleeping naked.
Okay,
I don't even know if I've ever tried, to be honest with you.
That's a good question.
I don't know if I've
usually
ever given it a
it
shot.
Just happens. That,
yeah. I mean, there might have been a night in college when I had, you know, a little too much. Well, you fall asleep and you're just naked. You wake up like, hey, I'm naked. Okay.
These are two people openly admitting that they actively take all their clothes off.
Yes.
And I'm like, is this a make love thing? You're hoping to roll around and it's
just
ready
a freedom
to go,
thing.
Or a freedom thing from what?
You just want to let your boys breathe?
I mean, they can't breathe in shorts.
I think they can.
I don't know.
My boys are breathing just fine, man.
I had a lot of questions when they said this. I'm like, wait, what? And they said, yeah.
And the significant other, no issues with it whatsoever?
Evidently not. Yeah. My sister-in-law hasn't filed for divorce.
Okay, she's still hanging in there.
I didn't ask her, but now I'm kind of, do you sleep naked too?
Yeah, are you both
jointly
naked?
Sleep naked if you sleep naked in the bed?
That is a good form of naked. It's not a bad form of naked. The significant other sleeping naked, I'm all for. They want to sleep naked, I'm cool with that. But for me, a little bit of a different issue.
You're cool with it until you don't get to make love right. And you roll over at 3 a.m. and she farts right in your face.
Are we going head to toe here? Am I getting farts in the face?
She's dead asleep.
I hope I'm not head to toe. That's a little uncomfortable.
Little squeaker.
Little squeaker.
A
little tight-pitched squeaker in the middle of the night. Whoa, hey, put some underwear on. What are you doing?
Then you're
over
not
there?
Like, oh, this is awesome. You're like, this is kind of gross.
You know, that's how people get pink eye. That's how it works.
Absolutely.
You're breathing in farts all night.
Surprised these guys don't have more
pink
eye.
And there's no barrier to block the fart from reaching your nose. There's particles reaching all sorts of places. You don't want it.
I had more questions than just like, oh, that's normal. But I know people do it. I just to openly talk about doing it was like, oh, okay, really?
Yeah, Antonio is saying that I do have sleep shorts. I love them during the summer.
I gotta look into this. I feel like you're making this up.
Sleep shorts are delightful, dude. Delightful.
What are you knowing about? You just found out about it like I did, and you're acting like you're an expert
I've
already.
I've known that there is sleepwear, yes, different from just
act like he
shorts.
Just ordered them and put the promo code DIRTED, and he's like, you got to get these sleep shorts.
Yeah, you're going to need to go to TommyJohn.com, 30% off right now.
You're
all
giving
underwear.
Them way too much
Way too much pub. Way too much free pub
they
out of this.
Not paid you for that.
And they never will pay me for this because they don't know who the hell I am. Yeah,
don't you say never. You never know where Dirt and Sprague
that's
are going to go in their
life. Somebody
lives.
Send this soundbite, sales staff,
go.
To Tommy John. Damn it.
Let's
get on
viral.
It. I had no clue about sleep shorts either until my wife bought them randomly for me for Christmas. I don't know how she heard of them or how she got on them, but I got a pair and I remember looking at them like, thank, what are these? Are they just big boxers? Like, what do I do with these? I'm not going to wear these. I'm not a boxer guy. She said, no, they're sleep shorts. An absolute game changer, man.
So you look like the 9-year-old kid whose aunt got him a sweatshirt for Christmas.
Yes.
Instead of a toy.
Yes.
That was the look and vibe you kind of had. Like, oh, cool. Thanks. I'm so happy.
These big boxers, are they?
You know what's funny?
I can't wear these shorts outside. They're way too thin. These are not outdoor shorts. No, they're not.
Side note, I had a couple Christmases ago, a cousin of mine condensed down old VHS tapes of family Christmases onto a computer hard drive.
Yeah.
And gave them as a gift. It took a long time. It was a really cool thing. So we're looking at like 1994 Christmas, right? And I remember getting a blanket and a sweatshirt one year. And I got some toys, but I had a blanket and a sweatshirt from an aunt. And I remember opening it thinking like, oh,
this is so stupid.
But I remember saying out loud, hey, thanks, because I always was conscious of that, right? Like, I always thought I was really good at that. And then we watched it. And it was the specific Christmas where I got the blanket and you can hear me say thanks, and then you see me go like this with it, just toss it right over my shoulder.
Immediate over the shoulder.
And I don't remember doing that part.
You went sea bass. You got to toss the salt for good luck. Huck it to the other side of the room.
Absolutely.
Those are going to be demoralizing, I think, as I get older as a parent, because you're going to get things for the kids, I imagine, that you're somewhat excited for, and to not have them have the same reaction as that, that'll be a little disappointing.
Well, but like if you got Teddy a Giants hoodie, let's just say a Giants hoodie, I've taken the approach of, I remember what that was like. They're not going to be excited about it, but they'll wear it.
They'll wear it.
So it's a whatever.
And I want to see him in the hoodie. It's more about me than it is about him.
Yeah, it's about the picture.
More about me as of giving a present than him getting the present.
You want to be father and son in Giants hoodies. Yes.
That's a good point. Has there ever been a kid who has got excited about receiving a piece of clothing? I don't even care what kind of clothing it is. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of mankind.
No, I hated when my mom went shopping.
The worst. You get clothes.
Here's some corduroys.
I just want games, video games. Like, give me something I could play with, a football. That's all I wanted. And then you get, like, a T-shirt. Like, oh, it's an Old Navy T-shirt.
You know, the only clothes I wanted the little Riddell. Is it Riddell, the football company?
Yeah.
I wanted the little kid jersey helmet.
Oh, yeah. See, I got one of the, I did that for my nephew a couple of years ago. And because I used to love those when I was
like
a kid.
The helmet looked real, but it was just all plastic. Oh. And then you had the shirt and the pants.
Talk about a concussion ready to happen. Those helmets are right there.
The couch tackled me so hard.
I was like, oh, I hit my head a little hard on the elbow there. That's not good. No wonder I can't speak in straight sentences when I'm 35. But I got my nephew one of those a couple of years ago. And it was one of those gifts. Like, I'm so excited. I got him a Niner one. I was jacked. Yeah. Like, come on, baby. We're starting this fandom early. And he just, I don't know if he's never worn it. He's just kind of like, whatever.
Text your brother, like, hey.
No, you know, I was hoping at least he put the helmet up in his room, but I don't think I've ever seen it. They probably tossed that thing out 2 weeks later.
Yeah, the uncle gift is an interesting one.
It's a bold move. The poll question is up, by the way. Do you sleep naked? Yes or no? Somebody said, I used to sleep naked until the kids got old enough to come into my room at night.
That's the other part. I'm not in a position. My 8-year-old is sleeping more regularly in her bed, but occasionally
she'll come pop in.
I wake up and I'm like, oh, she came in the bed again.
Yeah, you can't risk that.
Very uncomfortable feeling.
Where did this one go? P1 Corndog says, me and the wife sleep naked and we've never slept better.
Oh.
And one person said scientific studies have proven nude sleepers sleep better.
Really?
I don't know why.
I'm going to look into this science that you speak of.
The science is behind this, evidently.
All right. Well, happy Friday to all the nude sleepers out there, and happy Friday to everybody going to work, hanging out with us this early in the a.m. Dirt and Sprague, your coffee boys are with you. It is a football Friday. You know what we're going to talk about. We're talking about all the football. I got a fun stat for you on the other side of the break.
Ooh.
And then we get to dive into the fun conversation of concussion!
Yay.
Should he retire?
Yay.
My Bills pick. It looked good.
Yeah, that was a bad Dolphins bet last night.
Bad bet. Bad bet. We all told you to fade us.
Yeah.
We universally agreed on that, and that was the moment I knew that wasn't going to hit.
It's always a death curse when all three of us like a pick. Go the other direction.
Spring Line Friday. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague on the fan. Now, we don't need to linger here because I don't believe in torture. I just want to read some stat. Okay.
Give me your stats.
Stat.
What's your stat?
Bryce Miller gave the Mariners their 87th quality start of the season last night.
Yes, he did.
Of those 87 outings where a Mariners pitcher pitched 6 or more innings and allowed 3 runs or fewer, the Mariners have a 57-30 record. By contrast, the Phillies came into Thursday with 74 quality starts, second most, have a 60-14 record, and the Royals has 72 quality starts. They're 55-17. I feel awful for that fan base.
Sums the entire thing up. Kumar Rocker making his debut was kind of cool, though. I saw that happened. Remember him? Number one overall pick. Then they didn't get his contract. He had to go back. You don't remember him?
No.
Where did he go? Vanderbilt? Was he a Vanderbilt kid? He was the number one overall pick, and then he had some medical issues pop up, Mets wouldn't sign his deal, and he had to go back to college for another year, and he just made his MLB debut. And his dad is a defensive line coach for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, okay. I'm just glad it's not John.
Said that with a lot of confidence.
He said Kumar Rocker. I went, oh, John.
Can I give you a crazy baseball stat since you started with one?
Why not?
You know what blew my mind the other day? You know who the all-time home run leader for the San Diego Padres is?
Oh. Is it Manny?
Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Manny Machado with 164 is the all-time.
Because Tony wasn't hitting a lot of dingers.
How is 164 your franchise record?
I mean, we could do Bears quarterback records do the same thing.
You don't have a guy with 200 home runs and a what?
It's yeah.
That's wild. That one blew my mind when I saw that.
That one, for some reason, doesn't blow your mind. Yeah. I don't know why.
They've been around a long time, man. Padres, I mean, I know they're not good, but they've been around a long time.
Ah, baseball stuff.
Hey, it's still here. The season's still going.
It's still here.
Other Mariner fans were chiming in yesterday. Only 3.5 back.
Four and a half now.
I told you guys to let the rope go.
That's it.
My team's not even in the playoffs anymore.
You guys are out of the wild card?
Yeah, the Mets passed us.
Ouch.
Shout out losing to the Nationals. Let's get to the football, though. What's bigger to you, the Bills and how they looked even before the concussion, or the fact that we have a franchise quarterback who just signed a franchise deal suffer his third registered concussion, but we know it ain't his third.
No.
And looking terrifying as he ran into Damar Hamlin and left the game. Damian Woody, I thought, was really good on SVP of basically saying, dude, this ain't worth your quality of life. Get out.
Yeah, look, I don't want to take anything away from the way the Bills played. Their start has been fun. They dominated that football game last night.
They were up big before that concussion.
And the way that they're playing, it deserves its own attention and its own segment. But unquestionably, the biggest story out of that game is Tua. And I think we all would bring this up from time to time. He's been a debated guy. Do you pay him? Do you give him the extension? He finally just got it this offseason. But every time that topic got brought up, we all said the same thing. Like, he's a good player. He's incredibly accurate. Can lead the NFL in passing yards. You're one play away from this. And then not knowing what your future is. That's the sad reality of what he's had to go through in his career. And I always have, whenever I turn on a Dolphins game, there's a mixture of joy and rooting for him because I genuinely like him and I think he's a good person and I want him to succeed in the NFL. And he has been handed a couple of turd sandwiches early on, while also like covering one eye because I'm just nervous every time he gets hit.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, but when that hit happened, I turned the game off. I mean, the game was already over. It was 31-10 at the time, late in the third quarter. I was like, I'm out, dude.
That was about the time I turned it. I went to
the
Arizona
State. He did the hands thing
game,
again, where it was like not moving.
The right arm seized.
Dude, I keep walking off the field when they came back from commercial break. He didn't know what planet he was on. Looking around, he's like limping, but it's not a leg injury. It's clearly a concussion.
Yeah. They listed it as a concussion.
They did.
Remember the first concussion against the Bills 2 years ago. They really tried to sell us that was a back injury.
It's a back injury.
Like, no, dude, we watched his head slam into the ground and then him just like walk and then stumble to the ground. Like, we know what we saw.
And he got up and walked 10 yards and fell.
But they wanted to play him against Cincinnati. And so, how do you do that? You avoid the truth. And I think the NFL having that concussion lawsuit and all that concussion era stuff, it even in that moment, I remember thinking how remarkable it was that they were going to allow a team to openly lie like that.
And then play on a short week after the concussion.
And then he had one of the more scary concussions I've ever seen in my life, with his fingers crippling up and putting up gang signs on the ground, clearly not conscious. And, you know, he admitted going into last year out loud that him and his family had talked about him walking away. And then last year happened. They had a good year. They didn't win a playoff game, but he had a phenomenal year. He stayed healthy, played all the games. But you knew it still sat in the same spot you described, that you're like one hit away from this all being ruined. And I don't know. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. He's going to make the best decision for himself. But I definitely was one of those people watching I like watching you play. He didn't have a great game last night, but...
No, he was terrible last night.
I like watching him play with that offense, throwing bombs to Tyreek. If you were my son, I would be like, hey, man...
Get the hell out, dude.
You've done enough in your life. You've proved... You're a franchise guy. You proved that. You had a great college career. You won a natty.
Yeah, you got your deal.
We'd love you to come back and live on the island forever and just be a king,
Come coach high school football.
If that was in any way my family, that would be my takeaway. But I don't know what he's going to decide to do.
The point that I made, and I think you agree with, just the uncomfortable nature of watching him. If he comes back to play and we see Tua again in a game in like a month, he's not going to play this week. For the love of God, give him a time off. But the next time we see him, if he doesn't hang him up, it's just... That reality will always be there, and I'm just going to cringe every single time I watch him play. There's fun times watching him when he's airing it out and Tyreek Hill is running in 80-yard touchdowns, and their offense can be a lot of fun. Last night was not the case.
No.
But it just I don't like watching him play football anymore because of those two hits and his reactions to them. the concussions, you can usually tell when a guy's out of it and he's a little cobwebby and he gets up off the field a little confused. The first one for him against the Bills 2 years ago was kind of that way. The one against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football and that one last night, those are the ones that make me like sick to my stomach when I see him. When the hands lock up, you can't move. You can tell he's like, he just has no clue where he is.
Yeah.
I can't stand watching that kind of stuff. It turns me off from the game.
I'll be curious to hear the reporting out of Miami, like what they do, because McDaniel's a pretty different coach, his approach, his personality type, his relating to players.
Fans not thrilled with him right now.
No, I get it. They still start last week. They didn't play well. Von Miller wrecked them single-handedly on defense, and they just got off to a slow start. Buffalo capitalized. To me, it's more like, is he going to say the thing to Tua that probably he's required to? Or like, I don't know how you broach that. It's a weird topic. It just reminded me, because it's only his diagnosed third concussion, it made me go back to my childhood. And just remarkable that I watched Steve Young suffer as many as he did and just no big deal, keep it going, get a bad headache. And then finally he was...
Aeneas Williams hit him like that, and it's...
He was forced out.
Your career's over.
Troy Aikman, same thing. He suffered a ton of concussion.
You're never playing again.
Buffalo, though, because we don't know what's going to happen with Tua, so it's kind of left up in the air. It's lingering. None of us like seeing that stuff. Buffalo, before the concussion, though, man... Buffalo looking good.
Dude, they look great. After a slow start in week one, turning it on, finding a way to win that game, going on the road, and doing that to a divisional opponent where now you basically have a red carpet rolled out for you in the AFC East. Like, who else are you threatened by in that division right now?
Well, yeah, let's see what the Jets do against the Titans.
Get a win.
God, if they lose.
First off, just get a win. You just dominated Miami, who's now going to be without their starting quarterback, hopefully for a length of time, if not forever. So you got a bit of a carpet rolled out for you in that division. And if I were a Bills fan, I would have been watching that game like Farmer Fran rubbing my nipples. That's the kind of game that you have begged from Josh Allen, for Josh Allen to have.
He
looked good.
He looked the part.
He threw for 139 yards and a touchdown. He didn't have to do anything.
I know, but he made the right throws.
He had the one scramble out
extended
touchdown, or not touchdown. I think he was down at the 1 yard line. No, 1 yard line, whatever. But he had the one nice extended pass that he made. Outside of that, they ran the ball for 108 yards.
That pass got to the one.
1 yard line. Thank you.
About,
and their defense dominated. And how many times have you watched Bills games over the last 5 or 6 years and their defense was, you know, average, and they couldn't run the football lick, and it's Josh, go be Josh. That's what we need. Go run. Go make plays. Go jump over, guys. That's our only chance to win. The fact that he's able to win a game like that in the division on a short week where he does – how many hits did he take last night? I don't know if he had 2 carries for 2 yards.
Did Miami register a sack?
No sacks.
It wasn't like he was running around.
It's
the balance. It's the defense. It was like that was a football team win that Josh Allen was a part of. And if the Bills want to get over the hump in the playoffs, that's how they have to win.
And we know they're missing Milano. They missed another linebacker last night. So now they're like on their
third missing
guy.
One of their starting defensive ends.
And I think they had a DB out in that game.
Dude, their defense dominated that game. They made Tua look like a high school quarterback before the injury.
They did. They looked really good. And one thing that I kind of came away from, aside from just saying like Kansas City's the best team in the AFC, they might be a group that gets healthier and continues to gel as the season goes on. And it's like, what can that defense become given the offense we know is more balanced? Their only problem, I think, right now is that Keon Coleman is very young. Their number one wide receiver is not somebody I don't think I would say is a number one wide receiver in Shakir. But he had a nice little night for himself. Kincaid, we know, is really good at tight end. But if you have balance, this was kind of my whole Diggs point. And I'm not spiking a touchdown celebration here on being right on an opinion, because I think Houston's going to be really good. But I think part of why I was okay with them doing the Diggs trade was they were going to effort to be more balanced. That was clearly what Joe Brady did when he came in and took over for Dorsey. And if you're balanced, you also allow other people on that roster to develop. And if Keon Coleman gets better as the year goes on, he's got good rapport with Shakir.
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel's very hit and miss, but maybe he'll have a game or two. You can be okay, especially when he's making some of those throws that he made last night where he's not asked to do too much, but he's making just the right decision making. So I thought Buffalo, aside from the Tua stuff, you're feeling really good if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Dude, they looked awesome, man. And I am sign me up for a Buffalo Bills AFC championship game.
Well, we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves.
I know. I am rooting so hard
week
for that.
Two.
Can you imagine like a Bills versus Lions Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I think I had Bills Packers in our picks, but yeah,
talk about
that'd
be a sports
great.
Boner, a Bills versus Lions
Bills
Super Bowl.
Lions. God. Who would America be rooting for there? Because that's. I don't think I have one. Like,
I think
one
I'm just sitting there happy both ways. I think I'm just smiling.
Really?
Either side. I wouldn't
New
even
Orleans
gamble on a side.
Handle.
I would just gamble on the over or the under. I don't want a rooting interest.
Could New Orleans handle those two fan bases descending?
Is that where it is this year in New Orleans?
It's
oh, that's
in New
right.
Orleans.
We were talking about Kendrick Lamar.
So
the other day,
Bills
yeah.
Mafia and the starved Lions fans.
Let me put that up as a poll.
In February, descending in Mardi Gras.
I'm not a fan of either. I don't know who I root for here because I want Bills fans to be rewarded. Mar Levy had a great run, yeah. but they didn't win it. And Allen, I love Josh Allen, but I love Man Campbell, and I love the Lions being relevant in
two
my life.
Two deserving fan bases.
Damn, that's
like,
a tough one.
I would be so happy either way. Whoever
like, Bourbon Street might not. I mean, there's they've handled a lot of stuff in the years.
That one's different.
Those two fan bases descending during Mardi Gras might. Might test its
I love
limits.
Week two of the NFL. Look at us. We're talking about
yes!
the
Yes!
Can't wait. Bills are going.
Let's carry this over. I want to get into the NFL slate. There's some really good games and some games I'm keeping an eye on. So let's get to that coming up next. We'll dive into college fully a lot today. So we'll get all that stuff next on the film. Well, you're from Dan Lanning. It is a Civil War week, week three, college football season. We'll get to all the college dealings coming up. The week two slate of the NFL. We got some really good matchups. By the way, the poll question is up: if the Buffalo Bills faced off against the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl, who would you root for, Lions or Bills? Super random question, but tortured fan bases.
Yes, and I think everybody would be happy either way. But maybe you have a leaning interest; you like a certain player. Maybe it's Josh Allen. But I
if
think
you're a Patriot fan, you're probably not
Patriot
voting
fan.
Bills,
you root for the Lions.
Packers fan, you're probably not voting Lions.
Yeah, I'd be happy either way.
I'm disconnected from both divisions, so it makes it really easy for me, but I also still stuck. I don't know who I root for
and
there.
And neither team has ever done anything to cause me any sort of pain.
Like, who would you be more happy for? Jared Goff being traded out of a Super Bowl situation and forced and thrown into the depths of Detroit hell, thinking, oh, his career's over. Or Josh Allen, who's clearly great, but, like, he's got a Patrick Mahomes problem, as everybody in the NFL does.
Because I would imagine if you're doing this, you're beating Mahomes along the way.
Not according to Jamar Chase, but we'll get to that.
I have Houston beating Kansas City.
If Houston beating, well, and maybe CJ Stroud won't have a Patrick Mahomes problem. Yeah,
Josh Allen gets past.
I think I would find myself be rooting a little bit more for Detroit.
Mm.
Just they've never sniffed it.
Never sniffed it.
Like Buffalo had four cracks at it there in the 90s.
True. But that's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, first off. And this gets back to the question.
There's a long time ago, and there's never.
That is true. Is it more painful to have taste and not gotten it or never taste?
You know my theory on this. Taste and not gotten it's worse than to never taste.
So then hence what the Bills have been through is worse than what the Lions have been through. Because the Lions just have never given their fans any hope.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. The Bills were there on the brink and they couldn't do it.
I feel like the Lions is just a little bit more improbable too.
Well, yeah, who
like,
would have saw that coming?
Buffalo's been like
good for a minute now.
Good
Allen,
for a while. Good. Relevant. They've been relevant for a sustained period. They had a little lull there after the K-Gun, Marv Levy, Jim Kelly era, but they put it back together. Buffalo, Detroit, it's just,
I mean, until last year, they hadn't won a playoff game in 30 years.
Niners.
The Cowboys, by the way.
Niners are at the Vikings.
They are. Nice little game this weekend.
D'Amador Lenore, great cornerback for the Niners, former Duck. He had a quote this week. He said, hey, what's it going to be like to take on your former teammate, Sammy Darnold? He said, oh, man, me and Sam had great chemistry last year. He threw me the ball a lot in practice.
That's a great
quote. That's a great line.
It's a great line. I tend to think the Niners win this one. I bet it's a little closer than we think, though. Minnesota's a tough place to play. Niners always have a game or two.
5-point favorites.
Yeah, see, that's a weird line to me. I wouldn't be shocked if this became a thing, but also I've seen Sam Darnold play a real team, and usually that doesn't go well.
Usually doesn't end well for him. Although I will say, what is the reaction on Monday if Minnesota does win this game? Does it change opinions? Because you're not going to do anything when you beat the Giants. That's Danny Dimes.
I don't think it changes my view on the Vikings. I didn't think they were going to be the worst team in football.
Yeah, I mean, they won 7 games last year without Kirk Cousins, basically.
I also don't. I don't think it changes anything for me, actually. Okay. I'll just say week two, Niners lose a game or two every year that I'm always like, what?
How did you lose that?
How did you lose that game? Yeah. They lost to, what was the quarterback name for the Browns? It was like their fourth quarterback. It was PJ Walker.
PJ Walker, yeah. When they went on the road.
They lost that game. It was like 11-10. So I've seen them have stupid games before.
Yeah, there's definitely something to that. I'll be curious if Christian McCaffrey plays. Doubtful, I would imagine. But I know he's been back at practice trying to give it a go. And they're also playing on a short week. They had a Monday night game. Minnesota has an extra day there of rest. And now you're going on the road to Minnesota, longer flight from the Bay Area. But that is a game. The way Minnesota looked in week one, I know I joke about Sam Darnold on this show. I actually do think that Minnesota got exponentially better defensively this year in the offseason. And I think their offensive line is a little more reliable than it's been in years past. And so there's a little bit there that I'm just curious to see how they look. There's always one or two random wildcard teams every year that many people don't see coming at the start of the season. And I think they have enough around Darnold and a really underrated head coach to make some noise this season. So I'm excited for that game.
Interest you in Bucks-Lions? A divisional round rematch?
Absolutely you can.
That is a very curious line.
I tweeted Ken Barkley about it this week. Why are the Bucks getting 7.5? That seems like it's too steep, but famous last words.
Well, famous last words, right?
So north of a touchdown, though, in an NFL game between two playoff teams?
Well, I think what we're doing is the Lions escape a banged-up Ram team at home, and then Bucks blow out very bad Washington team, and so we're
Washington
like, what's happening here?
Bad.
Detroit's a really good team. They're physical, man. The way they won in overtime, I think Dan Campbell probably went home and pleasured himself to that. Run, 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 pass, game over. Like, there's nothing more that guy wants to do than to be that
physical.
Yeah.
And Tampa did get a great win. Baker played well. I know they had a close playoff game, but if you told me Tampa laid a dud, I don't think I'd come in Monday going, oh, man, I didn't see that coming.
I mean, nothing surprises me in the NFL anymore. It's the NFL, and that's the beauty of the entire league. There's no surprise results.
It's not like the Commies' rushing attack was anything. So
I might sprague the line on the Giants today. I think the Commies are bad.
You're going to do it again after your Panthers bet for doubling down on bad teams?
Burns and Thibodeau didn't have a sack, man. It's going to change this weekend.
This is the week. Danny Dimes is going to run all over them.
Please stop me from making the Giants.
Yeah, please.
Don't let me do it.
Don't do it, dude.
I'm like a guy going back to his toxic girlfriend.
Don't
let me talk to her, man. No. And now I'm at the party. I'm walking towards her. I need you guys to pull me away. I need you.
The one memo we should all put, don't gamble on bad teams. That should be priority number one. If the Giants win, I'm not surprised by it in the least. But just don't, for the love of God, don't gamble on them this weekend. I might sprinkle a little bit. I don't know if I'll spring the line on it, but I see the point. I wouldn't be surprised if they laid a dud. The Bucks are a good team, man.
They are.
Baker's a good quarterback. They have found their identity. Mike Evans, who was it? Why am I blanking? Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football made the argument the other day. I thought it was a valid point that Mike Evans is the greatest Tampa Bay Buccaneer of all time.
One of my best takes to Marcus Greaves, our former intern, I said, Mike Evans is better than Odell Beckham. He said, what?
He doesn't make one-handed catches.
And I said, Odell is flashy. He makes the catches. Mike Evans is consistent.
12 catches a game. And
gets you over
10 straight years over 1,000 yards. He argued there's guys that individually have played their position at any given time at a higher, Warren Sapp in his peak. Or you go look through the years. But when you look at the collective whole, it's hard to disagree with this take. And he had another huge game. So that's a lot of points for a playoff team. I know they're on the road and Detroit's a tough place to play, but I love the Bucks this weekend.
Which big NFL game is going to give us more of a dud? Bears, Texans, or Bengals, Chiefs? Because I'm jacked for both, and I'm also concerned we're going to get an absolute disappointment.
Well, I will give you an early peekaboo at spraying the line. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Sunday night game gave us an absolute dud. Why are we going to expect Chicago's offense to go from 84 total yards to winning on the road against a good Houston Texans team?
Well, that's a very valid point.
Keenan Allen's banged up. Yeah. Rome Odunze, I think, has an MCL sprain.
Yep.
Probably not going to play this week. So you're losing two of your top three wide receivers.
Cole Kmet didn't get the ball at all. And that Waldron's got a problem, I guess, with tight end distribution as an offensive play caller.
Caleb could get there. The Bears are going to be fine long term. I think the expectations were a little too over their skis this year. You're not playing Mayo boy tossing you picks this weekend.
No. But Houston looked a little weird against Indy at times. Now,
divisional game,
I'll give them that. Nico Collins established himself as their one. Now, that dude was unbelievable.
Yeah, Diggs had a good game, but
Nico was nicked up this week. He was a limited participant, I think, in practice the other day.
I would assume everybody's nicked up at this point, and we're 1 week.
Week one, here we go.
Josh Allen's wearing an offensive lineman glove last night. Here we go.
I'll ask you this, and we'll go to break. We can carry some of this NFL stuff over because we're going to have a lot of college football talk.
Yes.
Do we have grand conclusion takeaways if the Bengals play the way they played last weekend and the Chiefs do to them what we're not used to them doing to them?
Let me see what their next 3 weeks are. No.
Because Mina Kimes said yesterday that the Bengals are the team that she's watching closely, having watched the tape, of team that could absolutely be disappointing in 2024, and she labeled them. She goes, they had some really troubling signs on their tape. It wasn't just that Burrow and the offense struggled. The defense, that New England offense was just run, run, run. That's all the offense was, and they couldn't stop it.
I would say no grand conclusion yet for a couple of reasons. They traditionally get off to slow starts and then find their groove. Not a great reliable strategy, but they have done that before. They're also playing the best team in the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs are a juggernaut, and you're going into Arrowhead and trying to win that game. Their next two opponents after Kansas City this weekend, they get the Commanders at home, and then they go on the road to the Panthers. Now, we all assumed, Survivor League hello, that they would beat the New England Patriots. So nothing is a guarantee for them. But if they lose this week, I think you got to give them at least two more weeks because there is a decent percentage chance that they're looking up on September 29th and they're 2-2 and you're saying, okay, they're back to 500.
I also thought the Patriots coming into the year were going to be as bad as the Panthers and they lost that game. So
the ironic part is they will be. They will win one or two games this year and then we'll look back and think, how the hell did we lose that survivor pool to that team?
A couple NFL leftovers I want to get to for the week two slate. We got some college football to get to as well. Dirt and Sprague back with more. On 1080 The Fan. Made a big purchase yesterday. I'm going to Larry David Dirt.
I'm a little jealous of you, man. A little jealous. I might have to jump on those too. What's the date again? Sometime in November?
It's November. It's Thursday, November 21st.
Okay.
I don't know what he's doing.
It's probably like a town hall kind of thing. I could see there being a moderator. I don't think he's doing stand-up.
I don't think it's a stand-up show. They don't call it a show. No. They call it like a conversation is what it's
Yeah, there's probably going to be a moderator. They talk about his time in Seinfeld. Maybe the audience can ask questions. Like, I could see people do that.
It's Theater of the Clouds. So yeah. I don't know if they're going to do audience questions, but it's going to be... I don't know, but I just wanted to see him live once.
Larry David, man.
That's what I thought. He's almost 80.
One of the all-time comedic goats. Yeah. One of my all-time favorite shows. All-time favorite shows.
I'd go if I was here, but I will be on the road with the pilot, so.
Oof. Oof. You get to call a 30-point loss instead of seeing Larry David. It's brutal.
But I'll get to do it from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, so.
We think.
Are you having fun if you're losing? I don't know.
Myrtle Beach is
it's mid-majors. It's not the PK Invitational this time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the week before Thanksgiving?
Week
before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So I looked at the Thursday night football game and I'm like, I'd be fine missing that game.
Not a good game that week?
I want to double check who it was.
What is the Jets? Probably.
Scoop some of those
no,
up.
No, it was like a worse game than that. Let's see. It is
a good early Christmas present for the Pops. He'd love going to that.
Steelers Browns.
No thanks, Bob.
That might be DTR versus Russell Wilson.
No thanks, Bob. Well, that'll be the one game above 500 Pittsburgh Steelers fighting for an AFC wildcard.
That would be
spot.
Funny if they were 500 going into that game. And that's now the game. Was the game they went above 500.
Here they are.
One more NFL game, and then I want to get to a college thing. So why am I interested in Jags-Browns? Is it because I like to watch the train crash?
Fun to watch horrible people have bad things happen to them.
Yeah, maybe that's
I think it's
what
really
it
fun to watch that. And there's every time you watch him suck, it just feels like a giant ball of karma, doesn't it? Like, that dude's a scumbag. He deserves everything
coming
his way.
He knows he's a scumbag, too, when you listen to him talk.
He just lied about the latest allegations. I had no clue. Like, yeah, you did. They alerted your lawyer months ago that this was coming, and you couldn't reach a settlement. Like, you knew this was going on. You lied to the media again.
Yeah.
He's terrible. Pro Football Focus, I think, did a dive into his sacks. And I don't believe he was sacked six times, I think, in the opener against Dallas.
Sounds about right.
They didn't attribute a single one to the offensive line.
Well, he had plays where they gave him a pocket.
Looking around. I can't throw. I don't know what I'm doing. And sack. There you go. There's Micah Parsons in your face. I hope the Jags, too, by the way, talk about bad losses in week one. Man, that's one you don't want to look back on. Is that we blew a 17-point lead. We went for it on fourth down on our own territory. We fumbled going into the end zone. Nah. Talk about shooting yourself in the foot multiple times. They should be 1-0. So a little bit of pressure on them and your boy Dougie P to get on in the win column.
Yeah, you can't fall to 0-2 and lose to this.
No.
This Browns team, by the way, doesn't travel defensively. Last year they didn't. So we'll see what they do this year. But
yeah, it's in Jacksonville.
You lose at home this year to that what we just saw with Deshaun Watson, gonna be some noise about old Dougie P in Jacksonville.
Yes, there will.
We actually have a really, it's maybe the best game outside of our local interests of college football this weekend is tonight.
Tonight.
Arizona at Kansas State.
The non-Big 12, Big 12 game.
Then, oh, is this not an official conference game?
This is not a conference game.
That's right, because they had it scheduled for a non-conference game.
Similar to Utah and Baylor a week ago, this is a non-conference game.
That's right, that one was too. I forgot about that.
This does not count amongst the Big 12 standings.
Right. Hot take. Stupid.
Yeah, sorry, it should be an extra conference
game. Just play 10 games or not. I don't know how many. Does the Big 12 play 8 or 9?
They play 9.
So just make it a 10th conference game. What are we doing?
Well, that could be unfair.
What if it turns into these two teams fighting for one of the spots in the Big 12 title game, but they can't use it as like a Big 12 tiebreaker, and so the team that loses ends up going? That'd be pretty fun.
McMillan of Arizona has 12 catches, 300 yards, and 4 tutties.
He was really quiet last week, too. Like 290 of those.
Two games.
We're in the first week of the season.
Well, they were toying with losing that game last week. I forget who they were playing, but it wasn't a good opponent.
Northern Arizona, I believe.
Thank you. There's some stats. Fafita throwing the ball downfield, if it's not to T-Mac, is like 20% if it's 25-plus yards down the field.
That guy can catch anything within a 20-yard radius, man. Just chuck it up to him on every single play. He's the best wide receiver in the country.
And Arizona, they're ranked in the top 25, but kind of a weird-looking start, and it's early, so maybe tonight they get it going. But also on the other side, Kansas State.
Yeah,
they're a good team.
They're a good team, but talk about also escaping. I mean, they went on the road to Tulane, which probably one of those games, like when Oregon schedules Boise, I just yell, why are we scheduling this? Well, I don't ever want to
screwed in that
Tulane
game.
Tulane got hosed in that game. They went on the road to play that game. They were down, and they had to come back, and they found a way to win 34-27. Some calls went against Tulane in it. So they've had a bit of an interesting start as well, and so I'm with you. I think when you look at the slate this weekend, famously we always say bad slate, and then something stupid will happen. Notre Dame, Northern Illinois enters the chat, and here's a classic upset that we'll remember for the rest of the year.
On that Oklahoma game.
Yeah, maybe it's Oklahoma this week, and I'm sure somebody else is, you know, maybe my team loses. Like, some big upset will go down. It happens every week in the sport.
Well, that's not an upset for us.
Well, it's true. But when you look at the slate of, like, you know what? Yeah, I want to watch that game, and this is where I'm actually a big fan of Friday Night Football, because if this game is happening Saturday, let's say it's on Saturday on, like, ESPN at 12:30, lost in my shuffle. I'll flip to it occasionally.
It'd be hard to pay attention unless the Civil War gets out of sorts.
I got stuff going on. I got other games I'm watching. I love these standalone Friday night games, man. This is a fun game. It's two teams that are vying for a Big 12 championship potentially in a non-conference conference game.
Buried on a smaller cable.
No, it's on Fox. It's 5 o'clock on Fox. It's perfect. It's prime time. I can't wait to watch it because Arizona, to your point, has looked a little, I mean, outside of McMillan, who's an out of this world player, they just haven't quite gelled. Now, was last week a overlooking our opponent.
Getting
we got Kansas State.
Like, yeah, short week.
Is that what the case is? Right. This game is in Manhattan, Kansas, and it's a pretty sizable spread. Arizona's getting 7.5 going into this game.
Which is interesting because it's on the road for them.
It is on the road.
We'll see what happens tonight in that matchup. Avery Johnson, their quarterback. Big runner, that kid.
Big runner.
All right. We got a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. Doc Parker's going to stop by at 7:30 this morning. Look at us talking to Mike Doc Parker.
I want to get his thoughts on the it's two things going on now. We got the game, obviously, which is big, and then the conference news from yesterday and just how he's feeling.
Well, we heard from Dan Lanning yesterday. Let's react to some of the stuff he said and dive into the Civil War. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague, back with more on this Football Friday on The Fan.